Blog Talk Radio.
The names of the three students shot and killed in that tragic mass shooting at Michigan State. Right now, five other victims remain in the hospital in critical condition. The outpouring of love and support for the Spartan community continues tonight as flags across Michigan fly at half-staff in their remembrance. Tonight, we're also learning more about the gunman and the note authorities say he left behind. These are the innocent lives taken during another tragic mass shooting in America this year. Arielle Anderson, Brian Frazier, and Alexandria Verner, all students at Michigan State University in East Lansing, Michigan. Arielle was a junior and an aspiring pediatrician.
We were just hoping that maybe she was hiding somewhere.
Brian Frazier, a sophomore and chapter president of Phi Beta Delta. His fraternity calls him a great friend to many. And Alexandria Verner, an upperclassman whose friends say was an example of kindness. Their lives were sadly taken last night when police say a gunman went from building to building on a violent rampage. Scared students hid in classrooms, fearing for their lives.
They came in our class and let off 3 to 4 rounds when it went silent for about 30 seconds to a minute. Two of my classmates started breaking open the window.
Police identified the gunman as 43-year-old Anthony Dwayne McCray. After an hours-long manhunt, police say he died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound at a location off campus.
When he was confronted, he took his own life. We know that he was not affiliated with MSU, not faculty, not staff, not a student.
The FBI says McCray suffered from mental health issues. Detectives found a 3-page note on him listing places in Michigan, Colorado, and New Jersey he also wanted to attack. Authorities also found a gun at the scene and a second in a backpack along with multiple rounds of ammunition. Today, President Joe Biden again called for a ban on assault weapons.
It's happening far too often in this country. We have to do something to stop gun violence ripping apart our communities.
According to the Gun Violence Archive, this shooting marks the 67th mass shooting in our country just this year, and it comes on the 5th anniversary of the Parkland High School massacre in Florida and less than a year and a half after the Oxford, Michigan High School shooting. Authorities say some students who survived that deadly school shooting were also among those running for their lives at MSU last night.
Another place that is supposed to be about community and togetherness, shattered by bullets and bloodshed.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer has lowered flags at half-staff in Michigan. President Biden has spoken with her and pledged to support local and state response efforts. Meanwhile, law enforcement are now combing through the shooter's social media accounts and writings for any extremist views. Tonight, we've learned McCray served 18 months in prison between 2019 and 2021 on a weapons charge. Investigators are still trying to determine his motive. They say he had no connection to the victims or Michigan State.
Welcome, everybody, to Kitchen Politics. Let's try this again. Welcome to Kitchen Politics. Go ahead, Laura.
I will. David and I want to extend our sincere condolences to the students, that lost their lives in the senseless Michigan State University massacre on Monday evening. There are still 5 students that are fighting for their lives. 4 are still in critical condition, and 1 has been upgraded to stable. The senseless crime, I don't even have words anymore. I have been so upset all week because I am tired of the same old shit, but a different day. I don't want to hear the words thoughts and prayers anymore. Thoughts and prayers need feet. They need action. We need bold action. Enough is enough. How many children, how many grandchildren, how many nieces, how many nephews have to go to school, go to college, and be afraid? Be afraid. They were had a sit-in in Lansing yesterday afternoon, and they all sat in rows next to each other, just like they would be sitting underneath their desks. It is absolutely deplorable that they have to show. People in government, you know, what to do. I mean, they express such anger, such sorrow, such so many things. And they promise that if representatives, congresspeople, do not do the right thing, they will vote them out. And I believe it. I believe it. And I swear we are all going to work to make that happen. I don't even know what else to say.
Imagine 2023, we're just in February, and this is a 6th or 7th mass shooting.
Yeah.
And our hearts go out to Ariel Diamond Anderson, Brian Fraser, Alexandra Verna, their families who lost them, to this crazy person, Anthony Dwayne McCray, who didn't have any business on the gun. You know, it was said that he suffered from mental illness. He was in prison for 18 months. Then where the hell did he have a gun?
Yeah.
So this is Kitchen Park 123 for February 16, 2023, Season 4, Episode 13, Big Guns Equals Small Brain, America's Unhealthy Obsession with Gun Violence. Our hearts go out to the victims, families, friends of gun violence across America.
There's
the most
recent
act of domestic terrorism was at Michigan State University, as we heard in a report, where innocent people were gunned down and a crazed lunatic who had no business owning a gun. Many were seriously injured, and the community was left traumatized by the latest acts of senseless gun violence. We dare not say the usual our thoughts and prayers go to those affected by gun violence.
Yep.
If you call in here and say that, I'm going to hang up on you, especially if you're a right-wing troll. Because the NRA, you know, the NRA own you, Republican Party. America needs action and proper legislation to quell violence caused by guns. Not empty words by the National Rifle Association, by right-wing fascist politicians, who in the NRA own, you know, them, they deserve better. America deserves better. So thank you for joining us tonight as we discuss possible solutions to end gun violence in America. How do we curb the powers of the NRA? What can be done to help victims of gun violence and domestic abuse? Please call in the number 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off all TVs as feedback causes terrible background interference and disrupt the proceedings. You can subscribe at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. And you can follow our new website. It's up and running. It's at www.kitchenpolitics123.com. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show with David Franklin, me, and Laura Picker. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. So let's get cooking. And I have to apologize for breaking down, you know.
I'm all cried up.
I don't know what to say, really.
You know, I received a text. I was just watching a movie that night, Monday night, and I received a text. Turn on, you know, your local station, and I was just horrified at what I was seeing, the trauma mm-hmm. that these students were going through, because you have to understand how big this campus is. And
mm-hmm.
they didn't know where to go. They were just getting text messages, you know, to either run mm-hmm. or to hide, and because they didn't know where the gunman was.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the horror that they felt, you know, not knowing what hall he would maybe enter next, just randomly shoot. I can't even put it into words anymore, because
mm-hmm.
I am so mm-hmm. fed up. I'm so angry. I don't understand why continue to be such a disgrace to the world when it comes to gun violence. Everyone must
mm-hmm.
look at us and say, what the hell is wrong with the people in that country? They are masochists.
Mm-hmm.
They are murderers. That's what they must think of us. And I'm starting to believe myself, because I don't see any sense in anything. Now, this man, yes, he had mental issues. He had mental illness. Of course he did. I would say
mm-hmm.
most of what happens in this country when it comes to shootings like this, most of them do have mental issues. I also believe that we need some mental health facilities in this country to be opened up like a walk-in clinic, so that they can find some help when they're feeling agitated, depressed, angry. Whatever it is that they're feeling, they have to feel safe. This is what we need to do in this country. We need to open doors, open hearts, and try to understand what the hell is happening in this country.
Yeah. I think what's happening in this country is that Republicans don't take responsibility. All they care about is getting reelected. And some Democrats as well, people like Joe Manchin, who don't give a damn about people in West Virginia. All he cares about is getting funded by a big coal. You know, we've moved on from coal. The whole world has moved on from coal, but because it benefits him and his rich friends, he doesn't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
He has his own yacht. He has his own palatial palace. You know, and the NRA has way too much power. You know, the Second Amendment, it's a right, yes, but at the time, you know, the forefathers didn't expect that you have like 20 rounds going off in under a minute. You know, so it needs amending, you know. We've had amendments done to the Constitution in terms of voting
mm-hmm.
rights, you know, so why not guns? Guns is that sacred, you know?
No.
And I swear to God, if anybody called me here tonight and say that, you know, thoughts and prayers, and they have a right to own a gun, well, I'm just going to hang up on you. No argument, because, you know, this man, this monster, Anthony Duane McCrae, was in prison for a gun possession. He had a history of mental illness. Why the fuck did he have a gun? Why? Seriously, why?
Well,
you know, and these three people dead now, these three young people, you know?
Yeah. And the thing is, David, is that it was pleaded down from a felony to a misdemeanor also. So it's our judicial system as well that needs to be repaired, no
mm-hmm.
doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan is in a unique place right now, because
mm-hmm.
Democrats have control, you know, the House, the Senate, the legislature. We have
mm-hmm.
control in Michigan. And
mm-hmm.
our governor, along with many representatives, have gone on television, gone on record, and said that they are going
mm-hmm.
to fix. That remains
mm-hmm.
to be seen, because
mm-hmm.
but I do believe that if it's going to get done, it will get done in Michigan now,
mm-hmm.
only because
mm-hmm.
of the circumstances that we are under with, you know, the control of the Democrats. And they all are on the same page as far as, you know, common sense gun control. And
mm-hmm.
you know, President Biden today, yesterday, I believe it was, he asked to ban, you know, assault rifles. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need
mm-hmm.
them in everyday life. There is no need for an assault weapon. There's no need for an AR-15. If you want to do that, go to another country and go fight a war someplace, because it doesn't mm-hmm. belong here.
Yeah. It's just grown people playing G.I. Joe with nothing better to do because life suck. The bigger the gun, the smaller the penis, and nobody can come and tell me, and, oh, yes, I hunt rabbits, or, oh, I hunt this with an AR-15. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You just upset with guns. You have no life, you know? I'm not saying all gun owners, though, not responsible. There's some gun owners who, you know, when they go to the coffee shop or Barnes & Noble or wherever, or even grocery shopping, they have a gun strapped around them. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And that's so insecure, and, you know, it build up the manhood to carry AR-15
mm-hmm.
or AK-47 while you're grocery shopping, you know?
Yeah, what do you need it for? Make yourself feel, what, powerful? I mean,
mm-hmm.
what would you do something like that? If someone cut in front of you with their shopping basket, would you pull out your gun and point it at them? Really? I mean, let's get real in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy, you know, we have had so many tragedies in this country,
mm-hmm.
so many
mm-hmm.
that I'm losing count. I'm losing count.
Yeah.
I really am.
Well, this is a 67th mass shooting since the start of 2023.
Yeah.
67.
Yeah.
You know, madness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and it's the 5th anniversary of Parkland. And yesterday was the anniversary of those babies that were killed with the three teachers.
Are you talking to Uvalde? Sandy Hook. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was an anniversary yesterday on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine those. I can't begin to imagine what those parents are going through, the family members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you send your kid to school and
mm-hmm.
they didn't come back. You know, it must be haunting, terrifying. You know, the amount of anger that one's parents and family feel because
mm-hmm.
of one inconsiderate, probably crazy asshole, usually a right-wing nut job who, you know, fed up and upset with society because their life suck. They didn't have good parenting. They may not have, you know, a decent education or, you know, a proper shot at life. But, you know, go there for whatever reason and shoot people, especially
mm-hmm.
little kids.
Yeah.
Anyway, the number to call in is 515-605-9802. Like us on
mm-hmm.
Facebook at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. And we'll have our website articles, blog articles about to come. It's www.kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll have our first call. When you call
mm-hmm.
in, say first name where you're calling from, and all TVs off. The number again, 515-605-9802.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for
mm-hmm.
being so emotional, but, you know, I have nephews in the early teens, the late teens, and even one just turned 24. You know, I really, tell me.
Yeah. It's awful.
Hello,
I
Elaine.
Mean, I hear you.
Mm-hmm. Elaine, welcome to the show. How are you doing? Hey.
Hi,
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I just hope they don't change the narrative. We've got to get the assault rifles. That's the start. We've got to get the assault rifles out.
Yeah.
I heard
mm-hmm.
something crazy today. Where
mm-hmm.
is the security? Now, when I went to U of D, and I'm trying to think what they call those big halls. Those big
mm-hmm.
halls are a gathering place where you get a cup of coffee or you get a pop or whatever. You do your
mm-hmm.
homework.
Mm-hmm.
They're a gathering place for the college student. Now what do we have to do? Make them into an armed compound?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Basically.
Are we turning into a third world country?
Yeah.
I mean, these colleges, are, some of them are two and three, you know, a couple hundred years old, and they've never been an armed compound, and now they've got to turn into an armed compound?
Yeah.
This craziness.
Well, we know it's, you know, it is craziness, but these students are fearful.
Well, yeah, but already the Republicans are starting the narrative. Well, maybe we need extra security at these gathering places at the colleges, and we need extra security at the colleges. No. That's not the answer.
No. We know what the answer is. We all know what the answer is. The answer is sensible gun control. It's to get rid of the AR-15s, to get rid of these assault weapons. There is no use for them in this country. What is the use for them except to kill people? That is it. I don't want to hear about this Second Amendment bullshit. I really don't want to hear it anymore, because responsible gun owners understand the Second Amendment. If you're not a responsible gun owner, you don't understand the Second Amendment. That's the bottom line.
There's a lot of responsible people out there that are getting a gun for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
They're getting a gun because the permits are being passed out like candy. And they're carrying them. And they don't even know what the hell they're doing with them. They've got them in the bottom of their purse, or they've got them in the bottom of their jeans that have the extra pockets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are they going to do with them?
And, you know, I don't give a damn anymore about, you know, people who have issues, these shooters who have issues. I mean, we all have problems, we all have issues, but you and I and Elaine don't go take them out on innocent people by shooting them to death. You know,
I'll take that a step further, because I kind of disagree with that. Yes, everyone has their issues in their life. Everyone has depression, anxiety. I mean, everybody has different things going on in their lives that attack you daily, and you try to work through them, et cetera. But there are some people that are mentally damaged. They are damaged from their childhood, from things that have happened to them, their environment, or just chemical imbalances. They've never gotten the professional help that they need in their life, and they're outcasts, and they live alone, and they're unhappy, and they're online, and they're vigilant. And we need, and I don't know what the answer is, but I'm thinking to myself, maybe would somebody like that go to a walk-in clinic? Just something like, if you're feeling bad that day, and it's like, oh, just like an urgent care, but a walk-in clinic. You don't even have to have, it should be federally funded. You don't have to have insurance. Just sit down and say, look, I'm at the end of my rope here. Can I sit here for a few minutes and talk to somebody? Something like that. I don't know what the answer is, but there has to be something, because we have not addressed mental illness in this country. We have not addressed it. And we've swept it under the rug, and time after time after time, we know that these people that are basically shooting and acting out are mentally ill. They have problems. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe I might be wrong about how I'm thinking, but we have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Lori, on that, but also, these gun permits are being passed out like candy.
Yes.
Anybody can walk in now and get a gun permit, because it's their God-given right. I say GD to that damn God-given right.
Mm-hmm.
There's no mental health examinations. There's no schooling.
No, there has to be. That's the thing, you know, and that's where it's got to start. There has to be a database. There has to be a start. If you're on psych med, you shouldn't have a gun. I'm sorry, because you go off those psych meds, you know, and you're a schizophrenic. What are you going to do? I mean, this is what has to happen in this country. I mean, it does. We've got lots of problems in this country with mental health. It's not been addressed. I don't know if all of you remember, but President Reagan shut down a lot of mental health facilities in the country. They're almost non-existent now. And I talk from experience because I have family members that need, that have, are bipolar or have other things going on. And I understand what happens to them. I've seen it.
I can't think of his name, but the Republican governor here in that got elected in the 80s, he shut down the rest of the hospitals. Damn, I can't think of his name right now.
Are you talking about in Michigan?
Yes.
That was Engler.
Engler, yes. He shut them all down.
Yes, he did.
To save money.
Yep.
To save money because they all got a big raise. They all gave themselves a great big giant raise.
Mm-hmm.
So he was eating up Blanchard, but we balanced the budget and we had a surplus.
Yep.
But no, Engler has given everybody a raise and given all the businesses no taxes. And he says, geez, we're running out of the money, so now we're going to shut down all the mental hospitals.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what
happened. Lori, do you think the judges are too soft, Brian? Do you think the judges do soft on crime? He shouldn't have a gun. He had a felony conviction. He spent something like 18 months in prison. And he was charged with a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
You know, which should have never happened.
They pleaded it down.
Exactly. We have a ridiculous justice system. I think so.
That's the other problem. Sure. That's the other root of the problem, of course. You know, you have to have, you almost have to be rigid. You have to be rigid. Look, you did this. This is the law. Sorry. You can't plead that down. You can't. You know?
How come he didn't get a mental examination? But, you know, even if he got a mental examination, is there a hospital that he could have went to? No.
No.
We don't have
that
any.
That's the problem. No, there is not, Elaine. That is my point that I'm trying to make. There is no place really for these people to go to feel safe, to maybe, you know, ask for help, you know.
Yeah, but the judge can't send them anywhere either because there is no place to send them. The judge can't say you've got mental problems.
No.
I'm afraid you're going to do something stupid when you're off your meds. I would like you to go to the hospital and be evaluated.
Yes.
No, but the judge can't even send them anywhere.
No, and, you know, they do have some psych wards in hospitals. But the psych wards, you know, they're only there, you're only there temporarily, like for that temporary fix, you know, to calm you down, you know, give you some medication to, you know, calm you down. Maybe, you know, you stay there a few days and then you're supposed to go see the doctor. And, you know, the psychiatrist or the whomever. And a lot of times it takes weeks to get into them if you can find one. That's the problem in this country. We do not have the system set up to help the people that need the help. That's it. Now, tonight, Fetterman, the senator, am I right? Fetterman, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, John Fetterman. Mm-hmm.
Yes, John Fetterman, yes. He is suffering from depression, acute depression, and he checked into Walter Reed Hospital for depression. This is what I'm talking about. He's able to get help. He's able to get help.
Right.
Yeah, but not everybody can check into Walter Reed Hospital.
Exactly, Elaine. Mm-hmm. That's my point I'm trying to make. Mm-hmm. You know, he can go to the best. He can go to Walter Reed Hospital, and, you know, I don't begrudge him that. You know, I truly do not begrudge him that. But I'm just saying, you know, he checked himself in there, and he will get the help that he needs and the guidance that he needs and top care, you know, and the best care.
Yeah, we'll have two people on the line now. I think Sarge is one of them, and we'll have Elaine.
Okay.
I mean, not Elaine, Susan. From Michigan.
Okay.
Hello, welcome to the conversation. You know, what are your thoughts, Susie, on what happened at Michigan State University?
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I agree on the mental health clinics and the hospitals. I lived in Mount Pleasant, and they had a huge mental hospital. They shut it down, during Engler, and threw everybody out. So where did they wind up? On the streets or in prison? And that's what they were saying on TV yesterday, that they have so many people in prison with mental illness, and they can't help them. They're just locked up. What does that do? Nothing. And they can't get everybody. And most people on the streets, you know, military, veterans, people with schizophrenia and everything else, they're on the streets because they got no place else to go. Oh, that's better than locking them up or putting them in an insane asylum, because the insane asylum is really bad. The reason was it was inhumane to lock people up for mental illness.
No,
but it's better to throw them on the street like animals, right?
No, you don't. They're not locked up. They're getting treatment. They are getting.
I know,
treatment.
But
like
they were saying that was the excuse.
Other...
It's inhumane to lock them up. They have a big old place here that now is fancy condos, but it used to be an insane asylum in the 1900s, and it, you know, they used to give electroshock and crap back
then.
That was
different in those days.
Yeah, but the building itself could have still be used to help people today, but now they're expensive condos.
Of course.
And there's no place to go for teens, too, especially for kids.
Yeah.
There's no place to put them up here, especially. I think the closest one is Grand Rapids or Detroit. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. You know, you know, depression is part of our society, as a part of our, you know, a lot of people suffer from depression for different reasons. You know, we live in a society that's very critical and very hard to live in some days, you know. People
with
are
the internet
nasty.
Bullying and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah,
go kill yourself,
just,
you know. They're mean to kids.
It's just a whole different world. You know, it's
it
a
is. I'm
world.
Glad I'm not
and
a child in school, that's for sure.
Yeah. And like I said, if you have these issues and they're not taken care of and you don't have a family that's willing to, you know, help you the best that they can, and sometimes that does not work, that you end up, you know, you end up angry, and sometimes you end up shooting people. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
Then the second thing
is
guns. You know, if they don't have the gun, they're not going to shoot people. There's no, like you said, Lori, no need for automatic weapons of any kind.
No.
I have a friend that used to teach concealed weapons, handguns. And you had to go to these classes. You had to have an extreme background check, and they taught you how to take care of the gun, lock it up for safety and everything. And they only issued those to people that really needed them, like a shop, a store owner that had to make deposits at night alone, things like that. Or, you know, she was a realtor. She was afraid to show a house by herself, you know.
Yeah.
So she carried a little pistol. But, you know, you had to prove you had to have the reason for having the gun, not just for, I got to have a gun because I really want one, you know. And so there was a purpose. And if they ban automatic weapons, like a pistol even, if you can't shoot somebody with six bullets, I mean, you don't have any business having a gun. They said for personal protection. Then you're a lousy shot. You need to be trained, and you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And they don't. They just, you know, go to the gun shows and stuff. They don't even have to have any security on those. They get guns that they don't need to have. They have a bazillion of them. And automatic weapons, bump stocks, should be banned right off the bat.
Yeah. I agree.
We'll have a new caller. We'll have a new caller and everything. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. It's Sarge here, and I hope I can inject a countervailing opinion into the discussion I've heard so far.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, now, I want to preface my comment, not because I'm bragging, because I want you to understand my extensive experience with firearms. I was a state policeman working in Cook County in Chicago for 23 years. I'm a certified firearms instructor. I'm a three-war combat veteran. And and I've seen lots of gunplay, lots of shooting, and lots of criminals with guns. And there's one thing I do understand thoroughly is this issue. But for the specifics of this issue with Mr. McRae, Mr. Anthony McRae, Anthony McRae was charged in June of 2019 with illegally carrying a concealed handgun without a permit. He had those charges dismissed by George Soros-backed prosecutor Carol Seaman. She's a prosecutor up there in Lansing. Now, not only that, her office let McRae plead guilty to a lesser misdemeanor gun charge, served a year on probation. That probation ended in May 2021. He could have got 5 years in a slammer for the felony charge. Subsequent to getting off probation, he legally purchased the handgun.
Yeah.
So let's get this straight here. They had this guy. And your prosecutor, in the name of racial equity, because this is what she says. This is what her office says. This is unbelievable. I cannot believe this. She said that her office's official policy in August 2021 to drop mandatory prison sentences for felony firearms charges. She said the sentencing enhancement led to, quote, dramatic racial inequity, unquote, and was, quote, not in any way linked to the goal that we share of keeping the public safe, unquote. That is your problem. 85% of all homicides, excluding suicides, let me say this again, 85% of all homicides in the United States occur in 31 counties out of the 3,300 or so counties in the United States. 58% of the other counties, not in the massive homicide list, don't even list one homicide a year. And the rest of them list two or three. Let me say that again. 85% of homicides occur in 31 counties out of the 3,300 in the United States. The top 10 cities on the list, all of them are run by Democrats. All of them are run by Democrats.
Come on, what's your fault? Wait. Sarge, it's not Democrats' fault. It's Republicans who took money from NRA.
I said they are all, in all of these top 10 cities, they are all governed by Democrats. Now, I haven't yet said whether or not that is a characteristic of a high homicide rate, have I? I just stated a fact.
Okay.
Now, let me go on here with this talk about training. Now, I'm not going to even look at whether or not the issue, because anytime you put all of these hoops on a right, it's no longer right, it's a privilege. And the Constitution is clear as a bell on what it's intended to be. But I know that gets people upset because they don't want to think it's a right. They prefer to just negate it out of existence by saying, well, you need training, ain't any insurance and all this. There are a few people living that have had more training than me. But all of these laws come up now, they will not allow someone like me to have any kind of a firearm if the Democrats would have their way. So then training isn't the issue. We
not
all know
real.
Training is not the issue. The issue is the 350 million guns that are in private hands in the United States. That is the issue, and that's what bothers them. This guy only needed one gun. He didn't need a bunch of guns. He only did what he did with one. Again, there are 350 million guns in private hands. Now, we can't get rid of 20 million illegal aliens, but somehow we're going to get guns out of the closets of about 175 million law-abiding, mostly gun owners? How does
that
work exactly?
What does that got to do with mental illness? What does that got to do with mental illness? What does that got to do with helping people?
Because most gun owners are not mentally ill.
Quit yelling at us. We're not yelling at you. What are you yelling at us for?
I'm not yelling at you, ma'am. I'm
very angry. Why are you so angry?
I'm not yelling. I'm emphatic. I'm not angry at you.
You are yelling.
Trust me, I'm not angry at you. I'm being
yelling. You sound angry.
Okay. Well, it may sound that way, but I'm not.
Sound angry.
Well, I'm sorry it does, ma'am. Trust me, I'm not. I'm emphatic.
Sorry.
Maybe it sounds angry if I'm emphatic, but I
want
to make it clear.
You're yelling at us.
On
you're
my
yelling
position.
At us for no reason at all.
Ma'am, I'm not yelling at you. You think I am. I think you're too sensitive.
You are yelling.
Ma'am, I am not. Ma'am, let me say it more quietly then. Okay? May I say it more quietly, more peacefully, more calmly? All right. Most gun owners are not mentally ill. They are some of the most responsible people there are. They don't have criminal records. That's why they can pass a background check when they go to purchase a firearm. They get checked through the National Crime Information System, and they get checked through the state local databases for gun background checks before they can legally purchase a firearm from a federally licensed firearms dealer. This is the requirement. If you don't pass the background check, you cannot legally purchase a firearm from a firearms dealer. Most criminals, look, I took dozens of firearms out of criminal hands in my career, dozens of them. I can recall two instances in 23 years where the person whose firearm I confiscated was legally allowed to own it. Two. Every single one that was owned illegally. And frequently, when I brought these people before the state's attorney in order to get the charges made, hey, district attorney got a gun charge. Frequently what the district attorney would do would plea bargain the gun charge away to get the guy to plead guilty so he could get disposed of the case and get it out the door. So mm-hmm. The gun laws almost don't mean anything. They're irrelevant to criminals. The only people that are expected to abide by them are law-abiding people to whom it does not apply. The Supreme Court has already said that criminals are not required to register their illegally owned guns. Why? Because it would be a statement of incrimination, involuntary incrimination, that is a violation of their Fifth Amendment rights. This whole gun control argument gets absurd to the point of ridiculousness sometimes. It really does.
Well, you know, okay, I'm gonna say something. I appreciate what you've done. I know that you have protected people. You've had a career. You've served your country. You've done all of that. You have done everything right as far as owning a gun and protecting people. But what happened at MSU makes all of us very angry because this man should not have had a gun. And the problem is, wait, let me finish. The problem is that these students, these young people, are terrorized every single day. This is trauma for them. We should not have to live in a country where our children, our grandchildren, have to go to school and worry about drills and hiding or either run or fight. It's just not right. Why do other countries around the world not have this problem? Why? That is what I want to know. Why?
Okay. I did allude to this earlier, but apparently you are prepared to reject this argument because it's uncomfortable and doesn't fit the narrative. But I'd like to try to emphasize it again. I'd like
Go
to try
ahead.
To emphasize it again because I think it is relevant. 85% of all homicides in the United States occur in 31 counties in the United States. 10 of the cities in these counties are all run by Democrats, like Carol Seaman, the state's attorney who dismissed the felony charge against this man that enabled him to legally purchase a gun, which had he been convicted on the felony charge, he would have been disallowed.
You're getting that angry voice again.
Ma'am, see, that's what I mean, ma'am. I just gave you a factual recounting.
No,
and you
want
to reject on the basis you don't like the tone of my voice. I didn't call you any names or anything.
This is a different person telling you. You sound angry.
All right, I didn't call you any names or insult you. Yes, I am angry about this. I'm angry about the butchery of those students, and I'm angry about the attempt to infringe upon our rights.
So
I'm angry at both
you
of
don't
them.
Need to call us names.
I didn't. I did.
Oh, you put the blame on the Democrats. We never mentioned Democrats or Republicans.
Point out again.
In
yes,
this
I
whole
think
conversation,
point,
we are
I
talking about
point,
what we can do
it.
To change the narrative here. What can we do
point,
for the
linear reasoning demands
to
And I think the conclusion is logical.
Wait a minute. In Michigan, we have a chance now. In Michigan, because our governor, our legislature, our Senate, everything is all Democrats. and they are going to do something. Are you going to be upset about that? I mean,
and it depends on what they do. What are they going to do?
I don't know
what
yet.
What are they going to do? Are they going to enact more meaningless gun control legislation that won't apply to criminals? If that's so, I'm against it. If they're going to apply something that would do something to actually stop criminal misuse of guns, then I'll be for it. It depends.
Mm-hmm. So, okay.
How about giving a solution?
Yes. What is
oh, I have
solution?
A solution, sir. I do have a solution. Here's my solution.
What's the solution?
Given the fact that I was involved in this racket for quite some time, and it is a racket to some extent, the corruption involved at all levels of law enforcement is enormous. First of all, the corruption's got to be gotten rid of. Second of all, look, what has really metastasized with this criminal offense, and particularly the homicide rate, is a direct result of the aftermath of the George Floyd riots, a direct result, not indirect. The police are depolicing. They are intimidated, afraid to do the jobs because of the fact that not only their political masters will abandon them, but many of the more radical elements in the public will hound them out of existence and try to end their things like qualified immunity, try to throw them in jail. You get these Soros-backed prosecutors all too ready to charge them with offenses for even minor violations of police regulation, not the law. So, yes, I think that is one thing. We've got a short-term solution and a long-term solution. The short-term solution is what it always must be. The primary duty of government is civil order. That is first and foremost on the plate of everything. Without that, nothing else functions. So
and
whatever it takes for
the
police
order?
To lawfully and constitutionally restore civil order is what must be done. That means
how?
You allow them Terry stop.
How?
You will Terry. You know what a Terry stop is, sir? Stop and frisk. You know what that is? The Supreme Court said it's constitutional, provided it's done in a constitutional manner. The police know who these people are. I knew who the bad actors were. I knew when they were doing badly. I knew how to spot them in areas that would justify a Terry stop. And frequently, the way we got the illegal guns was to do Terry stop and frisk under constitutional circumstances. You got to let the police do things like that. You can't say it's racist or something if it's done properly.
Well, sometimes it's
not. That's the short-term
solution. If it's done properly, and don't you
solution.
Think the police need to be policed sometimes?
Yes, they do. In fact, you should do some police them always vigorously because eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, and nobody can take your liberty away faster than corrupt and fascist police. So, yes, you have to police the police.
All right, Sarge, I have a question for you. With gun ownership declining in the United States, manufacturers and industry lobbyists, that NRA are deliberately marketing to children. So these arm makers targeting kids to boost sales, like if you're 4 or 5 years old, they have a mini version to the AR-15. Do you think that is right for a child 4, 5, 6 years old to learn, you know, like a high-powered weapon?
Okay.
So isn't
okay.
That,
okay. I'm going to answer that very specifically. I'm going to answer that very specifically. It was common once upon a time in the United States to include in the 20th century for children, I'm talking about late elementary school and high school students, to bring their rifles and shotguns to school, lock them in the locker, and leave the school and go hunting. When I was in ROTC, in Chicago Vocational High School in Chicago, we had an armory for the ROTC in the basement of the high school. We had 40 M1 rifles, 3 M1 carbines, an M3 submachine gun, 2.45 caliber pistols, and 2 Browning automatic rifles, the same weapons you saw in Saving Private Ryan. We were taught responsible use of them. There was no horseplay allowed, and we were told they were deadly killing instruments that deserved the utmost respect and proper treatment. So I think children, like anything else that is dangerous and they're curious about, should be properly trained and educated in the use of them if they have an aptitude, proclivity, and desire to learn. They should not be treated as some sort of taboo object with the mystery attendant to such things. We teach them about putting condoms on bananas, don't we? Why can't we teach them about firearms and the safe and responsible use of them? Especially considering the fact that when they become adults, they will have a constitutional right to them.
Okay, so it makes perfect sense for somebody under the age of 18 or even 21. I can't buy alcohol to drink, but I can buy a gun. That's what you're saying.
Again,
that,
I would like to emphasize
sense.
The fact that this was a common practice and there were no incidents. I would defy you to go through the public record and find incidents where children who bought firearms to school would use them illegally or kill somebody with them in the school when it was happening and it was allowed. It didn't happen. Why didn't it happen then? Why does it happen now?
Oh, my God. Times have changed.
Why did it happen then and why doesn't – I mean, why didn't it happen then and why does it happen now? You could order a gun by mail, and a United States Postal employee would bring the gun to your home, no questions asked.
But that's,
and the homicide rate was nowhere near what it is today.
But wait a minute. That was in the past. That, you know,
why don't you ask yourself what has happened to change it?
Society has happened.
What
go
happened
ahead, David.
Society, ma'am? Why can't we be more specific?
Mental illness. When Ronald Reagan came in 1981,
yes.
He closed down all mental health facilities, facilitate people suffering from mental illness. The people going out there now, buying guns because of the Second Amendment bullshit needs to be upgraded.
Sure. Ronald Reagan had no authority. Ronald Reagan had no authority to close mental health facilities.
Tell me my point. You keep cutting me off.
Sir, you just said Ronald Reagan closed the mental.
What? I'm not very happy tonight. I'm trying to make a point. Laura's trying to make a point. Elaine's trying to make a point. And every time we try to make a point, not very happy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Gun Violence Archive reported over 2,700 mass shootings since Parkland.
I know.
2.5 minutes. Here it is.
Surveys are revealing key insights into why these tragedies keep happening. Justice correspondent Pierre Thomas joins me live now for more on this. Hi, Pierre. So this report looked at 173 incidents of mass violence in the U.S. from 2016 to 2020. What were some of the key findings here?
Well, there were commonalities, patterns. One of the key findings involves the fact that often these attackers show some sort of aggressive or disturbing behavior in the days, weeks leading up to their attack. To coworkers, to family members, to classmates, and that often these family members, coworkers, and classmates are concerned enough to be worried about their own safety and the life of the potential attacker.
Pierre, the report also says that, and I quote here, many attackers experience stressful events. They use examples like relationship problems, work issues, other personal stressors. How can we learn from that?
Well, I think the key here is the report is pointing to is missed signals. Those family members, coworkers, and others that I just described, when you're seeing this behavior, you've got to think about whether it's needed to reach out to law enforcement or to mental health professionals, someone who's in a position to intervene. I think that's one of the key findings. The other finding I forgot to mention, Diane, also involves the fact that a third of the people that they looked at in this particular analysis were barred from actually having weapons. For people that had been convicted of felonies, had domestic violence convictions, or been adjudicated mentally unstable or mentally ill. So in a third of the cases that they looked at, the people shouldn't have even had the guns in the first place.
All right, hopefully adding more pieces to the puzzle to figure out how to stop these in the future. Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas, thank you. Hi, everyone.
Okay, so that was Pierre Thomas from ABC News. And it was about gun violence and the cause, the root cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why it happened is the mass attack gun uses in America. The analysis said that 173 attacks between 2016 to 2020, that's one-third of the attackers prevented from possessing a firearm. And, the reasons he gave is because mental illness, something traumatic happened to them, or relationship. Problems, whatever, and that don't give anybody an excuse to go out there and get a gun and start shooting the place. And the point I was trying to make before Sad tried to bully me, the typical right-wing response, all I ask him, that make perfect sense that you have to be 21 years old to buy alcohol.
Absolutely.
But you know, you're like, you're a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, and your parent can buy you a gun, which is that AR-15, so you can learn to shoot it. At 5, 6, mm-hmm. 7 years old, you don't have no goddamn sense to be holding a gun. That's
no.
the point I'm trying to make. You know, this gun culture about the Second Amendment is my right. Fuck that shit.
I agree. You know,
a book in the hand.
That, you know, David, the thing
What about people's right to live, goddammit?
Exactly. And the thing is, David, what he was talking about was the ROTC. I understand. You know, he came from a place where he was taught how to the responsibility of a gun. He was, you know, he's been around it all his life. Yes. But those of us that don't like guns, are not around guns, hate guns, have seen children killed and maimed hundreds of times. Every single day there's something going on in this country, and it always involves a gun. And most of the time, I'm going to look up the statistics, how many times they have mental issues. I am sorry. That is a piece of the puzzle nobody talks about. We have to talk about it. And it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They can get a gun from anywhere. They can get a gun from their mm-hmm. from their friend and say they want to borrow it. You know, whatever the case is. But that is a mm-hmm. big problem. It's a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have to address mental illness
mm-hmm.
as well.
Think about when besides the school shootings, think about the other mass shootings that started. And that was your post office employees.
Yes.
And that was a mental problem in every one of those cases.
Yes.
And I do not understand why people are putting a blind eye to that.
Because if they admit that there is a problem, then they're a second amended garbage goes down the toilet. Right?
That's right.
That's why.
That's right.
And there are responsible gun owners out there. There are hunters. There are people that enjoy it. They go to the range and they have their shooting clubs. I get all of that. Have fun. Have at it. We need to fix it because we have people dying every single day. Every single day in this country. With somebody who's mad and with a gun. Because nobody happy will shoot anybody, right?
Well, the Oxford shooting, the young boy is not mentally right. And his parents sure as hell aren't mentally right to buy a little kid a gun because he's depressed.
Yeah.
I have some statistics here for you. The United States accounts for just 4% of the world's population, but yet still... 35% of all global firearms are suicides. Americans mm-hmm. are 25 times more likely to be killed in a gun homicide than people in other high-income countries. The United States of America has the weakest gun laws and the most guns, 393 million of any comparable nation, first world country. Well, you know, we have people in the United States? 330 million. And we'll have twice mm-hmm. the amount of guns. Why is that? Why? I know one person with over 700 goddamn guns. He lives in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
His wife left him. His wife of over mm-hmm. 30 years left him. Why? Because on any given day, he has 7 guns on him, some planted in the car, most of them in the house, you know, some of them up in his treehouse. I mean, why does one person have to have over 700 guns? That's madness. You know, it's a gun upset. You know, the bigger the gun, the smaller the penis. That's what I say. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know.
You know when the gentleman was talking about the ROTC and the gun clubs
mm-hmm.
that high
yeah.
schools. Then we had them here, even in Michigan, high schools that had gun clubs. These
yeah.
guns
mm-hmm.
were regular hunting rifles. They
yes.
were you would load a couple bullets in them. They weren't a clip of 30, 45, or 100 rounds.
They were mm-hmm. not military-styled weapons. They were hunting rifles. They were skeet shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Skeet shooting is an art. You throw up those clay
mm-hmm.
discs and you aim
mm-hmm.
and you shoot at those. So that's an art.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that was different. It was a sport. It is no longer
yeah.
a sport. It has
no.
become a horror movie. Find
mm-hmm.
somebody in the woods and let's hunt them down movie.
Mm-hmm. The thing about it, really, is that since Barack Obama, was elected president of the United States, the hate groups and the white nationalist groups grew 1,500%. And according to the statistics by Gifford.org, that's a law center, and it was a gun violence statistics, in 2021, gun deaths reached their highest level in at least 40 years, with 48,830 deaths in that year alone by violent crime
mm-hmm.
and, gun violence and everything. So, again, if you're a white nationalist, or you're part of this militia from your state and everything, we don't need none of the militias. We have the National Guard. Stop playing G.I. Joe. 1989 when the Berlin Wall fell, you see these, small penis men with big guns come out. Oh, yeah, no more communism. We don't want any immigrants here in America. We don't want this. We don't want that. And then it's
from that gentleman
exactly.
when he talked about the illegal immigrants. They aren't illegal. Mm-hmm. They are people coming over here looking for citizenship. And if they are illegal, Barack Obama deported more people than any president.
Mm-hmm.
He deported the ones that were here illegally. The bad actors.
Okay, let's look at the root issue now. Why do these people come to the United States? Because back in the 1970s, the CIA went to these countries, because remember back then, it was the height of the Cold War. Some places like Honduras, and the Latin America countries, it was between communism, leftists, socialists, dictators versus the right-wing Pinochet-type people from Chile. Augusto Pinochet was the biggest, meanest son of a bitch there was in Latin America. But yet still, the United States and the CIA knew what Pinochet was about, but yet still, they said, okay, he may be a son of a bitch, but he's our son of a bitch. So mm-hmm. as long as they push their agenda against the left-leaning communist Soviet Union and China, And the communist doctrine, everything was okay. Pinochet could carry people up in planes 60,000 feet and throw them off without a parachute. We turn a blind eye to that. Why? Because, Pinochet was allowing, American companies to come there, who had a good trade deal with Pinochet, Augusto Pinochet, the ruthless dictator from Chile, who murdered Allende because he was a left-leaning, Soviet, good friends with the Soviet Union and everything. So when Pinochet came in, what Pinochet did, all his enemies, that disappeared them, that took them up in those 6,000 feet airplane, threw them out without a parachute, that took them out to sea, shot them in the back of the head, and dumped them in the sea. And the CIA knew about this and did nothing about it. Noriega in Panama, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Panama is like a drug center, Colombia, Panama, Jamaica, wherever. There's this golden triangle, I call it. And the United States knew what was happening. Back in Jamaica, where I grew up, they had the People's National Party, which was Democratic Socialist, and the Jamaica Labor Party, which was capitalist, pro-Reagan, pro-Bush. Bush was a CIA, head of CIA back then. And they knew what the Jamaica Labor Party was about. Mercenaries on bikes, setting people's houses afire. When they try to run out, they shoot them dead. Where did you get these guns from? The CIA. Okay?
Yeah.
So when all these people from these different third world countries come to America now and trying to get a better life, who caused it?
Yeah.
It's a Cold War casualty.
Yeah.
So America's saying, okay, fuck you. It's supposed to be a white America. It was for America, nationalism. Who was here in the first place? Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And yet so they
yeah.
came on a Mayflower and murdered
said.
People, enslaved them, and have all sorts of diseases that kill them out and everything. So don't come on my program and say about, oh, you know, America is for Americans and nationalism and American pride. Fuck you. Do not call here. Call Sean Hannity. He'll entertain that bullshit, okay? We're not going to entertain it in this show.
Thank you, David.
Okay, I digress.
Thank you, David.
I did catch one remark that he made that they weren't allowed to do their job anymore. There's some mm-hmm. about that the police officers had to be politically correct. What?
Mm-hmm.
You can't kill somebody and claim that they pulled a gun on you? Oh, that's why they can't do their job anymore. You can't have squads go out there and just tear up the street. Like the last officers, they pulled that young man over for what, a taillight? And they killed him?
Yep.
And he's angry because they can't be, they've got to be politically correct. No, maybe we're getting tired of these murders.
How about all those black men who are not doing anything? You know, and they're so scared of the police to run, and the police shoot them in the back. They have no weapon or anything. Look at Castillo, for example. You know, we can call many names. Most of them black.
And that's not Democrat. That's not Republican. That happens to be an agency called the people that are there to protect us, and they aren't protecting us like they're supposed to. It finally got him to say that they should police their own. Well, they're not doing a very damn good job of it.
Mm-hmm.
No, what happened to Tyree? I mean, 5 police officers killed him. You know, that was just why, you know.
And I didn't appreciate him yelling and screaming at us.
Well,
you know what?
Just,
yeah, exactly. Why can't I have like a, you know, civilized, calm conversation?
Especially when he wanted to nail the Democrats, that's when he got the loudest.
Yeah, I know.
We never brought up parties. When we were discussing this gun issue, we were discussing it. We were having a think tank on what can we do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the thing about it, when Laura and I were trying to make a point, you know, he keeps speaking over us. We're not well allowed that shit to happen anymore. Come on,
yeah,
man.
No. Yeah.
You know?
No.
And according to the statistics, unarmed black civilians are 5 times more likely to be shot and killed by police than unarmed white civilians. You know, could everything in the book, put your hands on the steering wheel, yes, officer, no officer, but polite, and yet still they'll shoot us. Why? Because we're just a bunch of niggers who don't have any, you know, purpose in life. We're a waste of skin. You know, that's how I interpret it, you know?
Yeah.
And police violence, you know, the blue wall of silence and everything, it has to stop. Because, you know, back in the day, you know, you have to go a rigorous background check. Whatever scumbag know, especially if you're white, you know, and have a criminal record, it can be a police officer. You know, they're taking anybody. Look at the armed services. You know, you have white nationalists in the armed services. You know, shit like that have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we can't have nice things in America. Because scumbags, dregs of society, whether black, white, purple, blue, orange, I don't care. You know, if you're a nationalist, you know, you can be in the police. The Southern Poverty Law Center did the study about 5-6 years ago, and when they did the study, it came out that a lot of police forces across the country, especially in the South, have KKK members and white nationalists on them. Now tell
sure
me, how do you want a society, especially the black communities, to cooperate with the police and have a relationship with the police when you have white racist scumbags in there? What?
Yeah.
Does that make any sense?
No. It makes no sense. And we know that. I mean, we know that because we're rational. And we can, you know, some people in, how do I put this? They're in their jobs They're like in a little box. They do their job every single day, and they don't see outside of their box. And then when they retire, they're still in that box. Do I make sense when I say that? It's just that they are so, like, he is so passionate about the Second Amendment and his job and all of that, that he doesn't understand. I don't think he understands the empathy part of it. There's, you have to have empathy as well. I mean, you have to feel sorry for these kids, these college students, these, I mean, they live under pressure every day. When you go to a sit-in in Lansing and sit there in a row, just like you were in school, taught to get it underneath your desk, that's how they sat there, because they wanted to prove a point. Think about that for a second.
And you know, even children are directly exposed to gun violence.
Last weekend was a Super Bowl.
And
I happened to be sitting at the table with a lady who has a gun. I don't know if she has a permit. And she decided to tell a story that she went to the 7-Eleven, and she was at the 7-Eleven, a street person opened her, she left her car open, opened her back door, crawled in and laid down on the seat. I guess they were tired.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I should have had my gun with me." I said, "What would you have done, shot him?"
Really?
Did he hurt you? No. Who was he? He was a street person. Was he harmless? She said, he was harmless. He wasn't doing anything to me, but he was in the back seat of my car. I should have had my gun. And I kept thinking, and what in the hell would you have done with your gun?
Yeah.
And she called 911, and he had mental challenges, and the police told him to get out of the car, and they would take him somewhere to get something to eat or whatever. And he said no and went on his merry way. He was a street person. He needed help.
Yeah.
And it's not up to the police to play social worker either.
No.
So I'm
not
going to give credit where credit is due. The police were there to do their job. They did their job.
Yeah.
He got out of the car, and he went on his way. The police are not there to play social worker. But what aggravated me is this lady kept insisting that she forgot her gun.
Oh.
And then I'm sitting there at the table thinking, does this nut have her gun in her purse now?
Yeah, no kidding. She probably did.
Probably.
You know. And the question I would have asked is, why aren't your car doors locked?
Well, you didn't come across clear, Lori.
Huh?
You didn't come across clear. What was your question?
I said what I would have asked her is, why weren't your car doors locked? If you left your car, why did you leave it open?
You know, at that point, she was getting on my nerves, and I didn't want to get upset. I was watching the Super Bowl.
You know, that would have been something. Why is your car not locked? You know, I mean.
Yeah. But, while this guy was talking, I remembered this conversation with her. I mean, that's why I made the comment at the beginning of the program. We're passing out guns and gun permits like candy. Why?
Yeah.
So that she can walk, she can sit there at the table and flap her lips and say that this guy crawled in the back seat of her car and she didn't have her gun with her. Well, she was there telling the story and she didn't have her gun. Thank God she didn't.
Yeah.
She might have blown the poor guy away.
Probably would have, and she would have ended up in prison. So that's what I'm saying.
Can I make a point?
Yes, you can, David.
Can I make a point? Guns are
the
leading cause of death of children under 18 years old, according to the statistics from GIFA.org. 3 million children are directly exposed to gun violence each year, resulting in death, injury, and lasting trauma. And Congresswoman from Minnesota, her name is Angie Craig. She was attacked physically in our apartment building in an elevator by this homeless person who's a repeat offender. And again, mental illness played a part, because this street person is known to have mental illness, and there's no mental facilities to help people like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, again, it all comes back to mental health.
You know, if these politicians are the Republicans, you know.
How much trauma are we causing these children who have to go through this active drill for an active shooter? How much trauma did we cause at the college? Some of these kids came from Oxford and are trying to go to college, and they had to live through this again?
Yes.
What kind of damage are we doing?
Oh, big damage. Big damage. PST, you know, big damage. You know, trauma. It's trauma.
I mean, the kids don't even have to be in war to have the PSD or whatever they call it.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Dead syndrome, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Like I said,
I think the whole Second Amendment argument is, people that have small dick energy or SDE, small dick energy. They're nothing without the guns, you know. They think it's a power status and everything. Because, again, I bring it to the point again. If you're going to a Starbucks or the supermarket, why the fuck do you need an AK-47 wrapped around your arm? Why? Why? What point are you trying to prove? Like, look,
and
I have a small penis.
And if I were to ever walk into a Starbucks or a Target and the person in front of me or behind me or anywhere near me had one of those, I would walk out of the store, and I would make sure I'd tell the manager why I walked out of the store, because there is no need whatsoever. We are not in wartime here in this country. It
I don't
is
know.
So strange.
You can't seem to have a sensible conversation. You know, have a think tank. Come up with solutions. You want... to have your gun, then give us a solution why. I don't hear any solutions. I'm sorry, but I don't hear any solutions from them. All I hear is it's their right, it's their right. Their right to terrorize me.
Yes, to bear arms. To bear arms. That's their right, to bear arms. To have
but
guns.
It bothered him about a condom on a banana. That really upset him.
Yeah. I know it did bother him. I almost started to laugh, but I didn't.
mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know if anybody heard this news, but Senator Dianne Feinstein, longtime Democratic senator from the great state of California, said that she won't seek re-election to her seat.
Yeah, yes.
In 2024. So that's an open seat.
Yeah.
Congressman Adam Schiff and Congresswoman, what's her face, Katie Porter, has already announced that they're going for the Democratic nomination. So,
it kind of breaks my heart that those two are going to go against each other because they're both awesome in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
She
is the protege of Elizabeth Warren, who was our college professor at one time.
Yeah.
And Adam Schiff, as you all know, he led twice the impeachment of Donald Trump and everything. But they have good street cred to their name and everything. And a third congresswoman from California will announce soon. What's her name? I can't remember her name. Her name's slipped just now. You know, so we'll have a lot of good Democrats running that seat and everything. And there's no way in California a Republican can win that seat. You know, so...
Yeah.
Good luck to both of them, and, you know, I have a person who, you know, I would support and everything and send money to, but, you know, not least that over the air, it's way too early, but good luck to both of them, but they're two good Democrats.
Yeah. Also, that now that we're on that topic, David, there is a Lucas Kunce, K-U-N-C-E, he is going to run against Josh Hawley in 24. He's a 13-year Marine veteran, a Democrat, and he's officially going to run to replace Josh Hawley in the Flint, Missouri U.S. Senate in 2024. I would love to see that happen. You know, Josh Hawley, we all remember, he's the guy who pumped his fist at the insurrectionists, you know, outside of the Capitol on January 6th. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he ran mm-hmm. for his life a few hours later, you know, like a
mm-hmm.
coward.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love yeah. to see him beat. I really would. Get that trash
mm-hmm.
out of office.
Get
Indeed. That
trash He's out a coward.
Of office. Yeah.
I'm speaking about Cunt, we'll have an ad queued up for him. This is a man, as I said, running against Senator Josh Hawley in Missouri, and here's an ad.
On an old back street in Jeff City, Missouri. Place I used to call home. For the memories. Growing up, my family struggled. My sister was born with a heart condition. Hospital bills kept coming, and my parents eventually went to the hospital. Our neighbors and friends lifted us up. They gave me a chance at life. That got me to college, and then I became a UFA. The honor we give me so much. But every time I came home, from Iraq and then Afghanistan, things would change. Jobs tipped away for Wall Street. The wealth of our state sucked dry by guys like Josh Hawley and their top donors who got rich stripping our communities for parts. But Missouri is still standing. It's time to invest right here in the heartland, where we've been making things for generations. We'll replace the broken system that divides us, break the grip of corporate power. Join together, black, white, and brown, young and old. This is where we build our future.
Luke Green for U.S. Senate. He's from Missouri. He's challenging Josh Hawley, the coward,
mm-hmm.
who pumped his fist at Capitol Hill when January 6th insurrection happened and when the Capitol building was attacked and shit smeared
mm-hmm.
all over the walls, and it was defaced. Like a damn coward,
mm-hmm.
Josh Hawley was out of there with his tail between his legs, like a cowed
mm-hmm.
little bitch that he is. Typical Republican,
yep.
cowed little bitch. You know, just
time
like his mentor, you know, that orange bastard. What's his
yep.
face? Donald Trump. Just a coward whiny little bitch. They're all coward
yep.
whiny little bitches. Just like these
yep.
right-wingers who call me occasionally, cowardly whiny little bitches. Yeah, I said it.
Mm-hmm.
What? You know, I have some coward whiny nope. little bitches that I work with, though, but we will go there.
Yeah.
You know, we don't talk politics deliberately because, you know, as you said, Laurie and Elaine, you can't have a calm conversation like this because they want to
no.
scream over you. You know?
Yeah.
You try to make a point, they scream
you know,
over you.
Yes. And that's the thing is that I would love, you know, if I could have, like you, could have got a word in edgewise, I had a few questions to ask him. You know, I believe he has experience, but I really believe that he's lived in this little world of gun world, and he doesn't see outside of that, you know, and he doesn't feel what we feel because he's not afraid of guns. Is that, you know, what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's just, but, you know.
No, there's a little racist. There was a little racist in him.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
Like
oh yeah.
Said, yeah.
Self-hate. You call it the Stockholm syndrome, man. I mean
yeah.
black people were Republicans.
But when he was
Stockholm
upset over the stop and frisk, we know why that was curtailed.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we
Giuliani
know
tried
why that
as mayor of New York City. When Giuliani was mayor of New York City, we saw how well that went. What's
mm-hmm.
his name, that billionaire guy, Michael Bloomberg, did it. You know,
yep.
we just have some racists in the police system. And as according to the SPCA, you know, the watch group for white nationalists and all and racists,
mm-hmm.
said that a majority of these police forces, especially in the South, are filled with anti-Semitic
and racist motherfuckers. No, how do we get rid of this? You know, how? Because it seems that the police force, some police force, is just like the scum of the earth, qualified to the cops, on this power trip. You know?
Well,
how do we get rid of them?
It's the new... I don't know. We got rid of five just recently. I don't know. You know, it's just... I don't know, like I have said in the past, I don't know if they're not trained properly, if they're not there for the right reasons, because, you know, back in the day, a police officer could, you know, walk the beat, and the kids loved police officers. They trusted them. It was a different environment. Now it's they don't have those same feelings, a lot of them. They're afraid of the police and things that have happened. And social media exposes it all. So sure, they're afraid, you know, and maybe they need to go back to the drawing board. I don't know what the answer is. I've never been in law enforcement. It is something that I would not do, and I wouldn't want that job. But, and I know there's good police officers out there, you know, that work every single day, and they do their job properly. You know, they go by the book. They do what they're told. I mean, what they're taught, and they're fair and they're honest. There's lots of good cops out there, but there's always a bad apple. There's a bad apple in every situation. In a lot of, you know, even in other workplaces, there's bad apples. We all know that. We all have worked with bad apples in our lives. So this would be the same thing. But I wanted to talk about one other thing. It's a little off topic, but you had mentioned you had mentioned the Orange Monster, David, and that, you know, do you know that the Proud Boys are going to subpoena Trump in the sedition trial? That ought to be very interesting, because in September of 2020, if we all remember, during one of the presidential debates, and he was asked about the Proud Boys, and Donald Trump was quoted and said to stand back and to stand by. That's what he said to the Proud Boys. And now they want to subpoena him because they feel that he was a ringleader, right?
Yep.
I love it. I love it.
But the thing is, grown men and the Proud Boys, you know, the cat thing for themselves. Grown men, grown-ass men, and the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and wherever, they don't have a mind for themselves. What are following this buffoon, this idiot, Donald Trump, who's been, you know, bankrupt six times. His father gave him how much money to start out, you know?
Yeah.
And then he gives a narrative, Trump, about, oh, he started out from nothing. I wish I had a father or a relative that gave him $100 million to start out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no.
You know? And this goddamn globalization of the Second Amendment, you know, most media coverages focus on domestic shootings. That's all well and good. But the gun violence epidemic bleeds across borders. So beyond children, the industry vigorously pursues foreign clients, the NRA, that is. So under Secretary of State John Bolton, for example, the NRA officials led the U.S. delegation to United Nations talks. Oh, Jesus Christ, I lost the goddamn thing. Oh, geez, I had the thing right here, and it just disappeared. I hear this computer. Anyway, so basically, the point of the article was saying is that NRA trying to, like, export the violence, basically. They want a bigger audience, worldwide audience, to sell the guns and everything. Because, again, they're merchants of death. The only thing they care about is selling guns and making a profit. They don't give a goddamn if it kills kids, if it kills adults, if it kills women who's in domestic abuse situations. You know, the NRA, the wings need to be clipped because they're too dangerous. And that doesn't make up, you know, a little bit a percentage of the population. And it's unacceptable what they're trying to do. You know, it's disgusting. It's disgraceful. You know?
Yeah.
And for example, Florida, on average, someone in Florida is killed by the gun every 3 hours. They have the stand your ground law in Florida.
Yeah.
The gun death per year average is 2,849. The 26th highest gun death rate in the United States. So gun death per 100,000 people is 12.9%, you know?
Yeah.
And Alaska is ranked number one, you know,
wow.
in gun deaths. You know, the statistics for Alaska getting it up.
Alaska?
Let me see.
Were you
kidding?
Yeah,
Alaska.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
The highest gun death rate. They were first in the nation. Gun death rate per year is low, 173, or 23.4 gun deaths per 100,000 residents. On average, someone is killed with a gun every 2 days in Alaska.
Wow.
Wow.
Arizona. On average, someone is killed with a gun every 8 hours in Arizona. The statistics, you can go on Gifford or Giffords.org/lawcenter/gun-violence-statistics/.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read that again. Giffords.org, that's GIFFORDS.org/lawcenter/gun-violence-statistics/.
Mm-hmm.
So Arkansas, on average, someone is killed by the gun every 15 hours. They're ranked 8th in the United States in gun deaths. And guns per death per year is 596 in Arkansas. California, on average, someone is killed by a gun every 3 hours in California, ranked 44th in the United
wow.
States. Colorado, 21st. Connecticut, 45th, and so on and so forth. Let me see. Let's check Michigan. Illinois,
mm-hmm.
Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, and Louisiana, that. Okay, we're coming up to the great state of Michigan. Michigan, on average, someone is killed with a gun every 7 hours in Michigan. Highest gun
mm-hmm.
death rate is ranked 27th in the United States. Gun deaths per year is 1,270 people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the gun deaths per 100,000 residents is 12.7. You know, so
mm-hmm.
Michigan is ranked 12th in gun death rate. You know, so
mm-hmm.
Mississippi is ranked second behind Alaska. Someone
wow.
is killed every 13 hours. You know, so let's go on and on and on. Missouri is fifth,
yeah.
Montana ninth. You know, so you notice in these states are red states. The highest
yeah.
gun deaths are in these red states. You know, it's
yeah.
ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yes.
Mm-hmm. In my state, New Mexico, someone's killed every 20 hours in New Mexico, ranks seventh in gun death rate, 433
really?
Gun deaths per year, according to the statistics
wow.
from Giffords.org. You know, so, I mean, it's just absolutely utter madness when it comes to gun violence in America.
Okay.
What about those poor women who are under domestic violence? You know, when
yeah.
I have a partner who, you know, is like a worship of a gun, basically. And without
mm-hmm.
a gun, do you think that he could bully his wife or girlfriend that way? No. Without a gun, he's a little whiny little bitch. You
yeah.
know? Again. You know?
Well, the gun gives you, you know, looking into a barrel of a gun wouldn't make you feel too good, you know? So,
exactly.
yeah, that's
exactly.
that's horrendous.
The shooter at the college, what type of weapon did he have?
With a long
that
gun,
hasn't
I believe.
Been clear to me yet of all the newscasts that I've listened to. Did he have a rifle? Did he have those newfangled automatic pistols with the big clips?
I don't know either. I've not heard as well. I thought he had a long gun, but it's not been confirmed. I haven't
it
heard it,
been,
so.
Yeah, they've been very vague on it.
Yeah, I
mm-hmm.
know. Yeah, very vague. Yeah.
And
did you hear the story? I think this might be a little important. Kind of. I don't know if you heard the story of how he got caught. Did you guys hear the story?
No,
no.
I haven't.
Okay. The story is there was this couple that were in a home, in their home, and he lived kind of, next door He lived a few doors, a couple doors down on the same street. And they knew of him, and they heard all the sirens, everything going off, and they had a one-year-old baby, and, you know, the dad was sitting there, and she kept on going to the window. She had the drapes closed, but she kept going to the window, and she kept looking, you know, to see what was going on. She saw him walking because they were watching it on television as it was happening, and they saw the red tennis shoes and the cap that he had on and the way he was dressed. And they called Channel 7 News because they were talking, and at that time they were, that's what they were watching. They called into the station and they said, look, he's right here. He was right in front of my house, you know, and they were afraid because they thought maybe he would shoot into their house. So then after that, they hung up, they called 911, and that's how he was caught. And then they said he killed himself is what they said. But that is how he got caught. Not, mm-hmm. you know, and that within itself was something. Because
he's their neighbor?
Yes, he lived near them, yes. And he was walking back to wherever he lived. And, I mean, his where he lived, it looked like it was in disarray. There was a truck there. It was messy. It was, you know, a rundown home. And he lived there by himself. He had other guns and other ammunition inside of his home because they went through it. And, and that's how he was caught. This young couple just happened to see him walking.
Okay.
And so I thought that was something else when I heard
that
story.
Well, I'd like to know why they're being so quiet about what type of weapon.
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
I thought maybe you or David had heard something, being, you know, that you listen to different stations than I do. And I'm just wondering, why are they being so quiet about
someone
it?
You know, I tried to Google the information, what type of gun he has, and time I try to Google something, boom, I get kicked off. It's ridiculous. Oh. It's like, why are they hiding the type of gun he had?
Someone just messaged me, and they said a handgun is what the police said, that he had two of them with multiple clips.
He had clips. The kind of handguns now that you can shoot, I think, up to 20 bullets.
He had two handguns.
I think that's how many you can put in there.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I know nothing about guns.
Well, it's
guns
more than
like
six
that.
Shots. It's more than six shots.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate guns, so I don't know. But yeah, that was the story of how he got caught, and you know, and they said he killed himself.
Like a coward little bitch. But then again, he had mental illness. You know, what can you say about people in Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys? You know, they have mental illnesses as well. Well, they have to, because, you know, they follow Donald Trump. Donald Trump is their Lord and Savior. It's ridiculous. Grown-ass men, you know, sucking, basically dropping on their knees and sucking Donald Trump's dick. Let's call a spade a spade. No, I hate cursing, but that's what they're doing. You get what I'm saying? I know when they get caught, they're trying to plead for mercy and everything. No! You know, police officers were murdered on that day. You know, they're trying to go in there and kill congressmen and women and U.S. senators and trying to hang Mike Pence. Even though I hate Mike Pence to his gut, to his core. You know, he's a vice president of the United States. If you don't respect the man, respect the office at least. But Jesus Christ, Mike Pence is on their side, along with Donald Trump and right-wing lunatic Republicans. And they want to hang the son of a bitch. You know, so if that's not treason, what the fuck is? Wake up, America. Sorry for cursing so much, but I'm so distraught and pissed about this thing. Where these three students, all in their 20s, you know, one wants to be, you know.
One was 19.
I mean,
yes.
Wake up, Magnum.
What are you trying to peer in?
Wake up, Magnums. He wanted to kill his own vice president.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Wake up, Pence. He wanted to do. He wanted to do you in.
Yeah.
My
now
God.
Now that you bring up Pence, you mm-hmm. you know that he has been subpoenaed by the January 6th Commission,
mm-hmm.
and he said today that he is going to fight because it is unconstitutional. Who the hell is he? He is no longer vice president. He's no longer vice president. He is a private citizen. And who the hell does he think he is that it's unconstitutional to subpoena him? Are you kidding?
Yeah.
And I
because he's above the law. He's Mike Pence. Yeah, he's above the law.
What warlord have they all cut a deal with?
Huh?
What warlord have they all cut a deal with?
Yeah. So, but just listen. Former Vice President Mike Pence said Wednesday that he would fight the subpoena from the special counsel investigating former President Trump's actions during the January 6th riot. And he said, and I quote, "I think it's unprecedented. And it is unconstitutional." I mean, why?
Well, but,
why?
Know, Spiro Agnew, when they were investigating Nixon, Spiro Agnew tried that, and it backfired on him, and he had to, like, go in front of a judge and everything.
Yeah.
So who the
yeah.
hell is Mike Pence? Fuck you, Mike Pence.
No.
And
exactly.
if Spiro Agnew can do it and went to jail for tax evasion and embezzlement and covering up for Nixon, then, goddamn, you should go in front of a panel, a Congress, and testify.
Yeah.
If it's behind closed doors, if you know, don't want any national secrets revealed, so be it. But
yeah.
you're not above the goddamn law, you know? But
actually,
yet still, when they want to impeach Bill Clinton, everything was public. And why?
Yeah.
Because he got his dick stuck and he lied about it.
Yeah, no kidding.
Trump did worse,
and, you know,
motherfuckers. Trump did worse.
I know.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah,
I'm just so angry at these right-wing people. These right-wing people are
lie, huh?
fucking gross. These right-wing people. I want to say something, but I don't want to get kicked off of Blog Talk Radio. I mean,
yeah.
these people
okay.
are out of their fucking minds. They're living in an Orwellian world, you know? Alternate universe. These motherfuckers are insane. They're crazy. There's no reasoning with them. There's no logic with them. And that's why when we got to 2024, we're going to whoop their ass on all levels, from school board right up to the federal level, right up to President of the United States. America has had enough. Look how many children have died. You know, look
how
much goddamn children have died and innocent people. You're going grocery shopping, and this cocksucker who's a right-wing fascist, you know, who have white privilege, you know, who don't have it hard in life. We go in there with an AR-15 and shoot up the whole, you know, supermarket. Why? Because they're black people. Fuck you, right wing. We're not going to make you rule this country. We're not going to make you take over everything and say about the Second Amendment as everybody's right. No. Senator did a nice thing. We're going to take all the assault weapons from people. You get what I'm saying? Because if you're not in the army, if you're not in the armed services, you have no goddamn reason to have an assault weapon.
No,
that's what Canada did. That's what the Scandinavian countries did. That's what Scotland did in England, in Republic of Ireland, all those first world countries. So why do you think we're special to have this goddamn Second Amendment that was written in 1776 or 17, whenever it was? You get what I'm saying? Times change with it.
Yeah.
So fuck you, right wing, about your Second Amendment. You know, shove that Second Amendment up your ass. We're coming for you 2024. We're not going to take back any chat. We're going to come back for you from school board right up to the federal level, and we're going to win. We're going to win big time. I'm sick of this bullshit. Children are dying. Black people are dying. Fuck you, right wing.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody in the next 10 minutes to call me who's a right winger, try to dispute what I just said. You know, bring it. You said they cannot bring it because every time you have them on air, they try to over-talk you and everything. You can't make your point. You
know,
so
there is
again, if we didn't hear them for the first 100 times, right-wing America, fuck you. We're not going to allow it.
I agree,
but I digress.
I know. But I just want to finish.
Too nice, like, one more thing, Laura, before we make a point. And left-leaning progressive, so-called progressive people say, oh, when they go low, we go high. Fuck you, too. Okay? Fuck you. You know, have a pair of balls. Grow some. Fight back.
David?
When they bring a knife, we'll bring a gun to the gunfight. Not a knife. No, this is niceties about, oh, yes, we can't have a polite... No, they don't know what polite is. They have no class. They have no character.
No, you're right. I agree with you. You know, the thing is, yes, and I agree. When they go low, we go high. Well, we've tried that. It doesn't work. It does not work. And I don't like to stoop to lower levels, but it gets to the point where you have no choice because, you know, it just doesn't work. You know, they try to pick at your words and, you know, over, like you said, talk over you. And, you know, you can't. I wanted to ask him some different questions and it doesn't happen. And having this show, we do want to hear different perspectives. We do, but we also want to have civil conversations, civil, so that we can understand what the other person is thinking. And it's not happening because everyone has their own agenda. And my agenda, you know, trumps your agenda, you know, and the hell with your agenda. And it doesn't work. And Mike Pence, I'm just pissed. I want to finish because he said that no vice president has ever been subject to a subpoena to testify about the president with whom they serve. It's unprecedented. This is not my fight. And he said, and I reaffirm my belief that Trump was wrong. He was reckless during the January 6th riot and endangered everyone at the Capitol. He said it was wrong to establish a precedent where a legislative official could be called into a court by an executive branch. The former vice president urged the separation of powers and said he was prepared to take the matter to the Supreme Court if necessary. Fuck you, Pence. I'm sorry I don't talk like that, but he makes my blood boil and he gives me the creeps because his boss, the president, at that time, was going to hang his ass, right? She's going to hang him.
Exactly.
Was going to hang him. And now this coward of a man, who got to him? What is he afraid of?
Well, he's running for the Republican. He's about to run for the Republican nomination for 2024.
Well,
so he's trying to kiss Trump's ass, basically.
Yeah.
He's trying to kiss the lower-level rank-and-file Republican voters who, you know, inbred to begin with, but, you know, let's not go there.
Institutional. It is not. And he's just, you know, and to say that he would bring it to the Supreme Court is so sickening. Sickening.
And again, I'm at the point of Spiro Agnew can testify when they're investigating Richard Nixon for Watergate.
Yes.
Who the hell does Mike Pence think he is that, you know,
nobody.
He's above testifying?
He's not the vice president. He's nobody. I'm sorry. He is a private citizen. And if Jack Smith wants to subpoena him, he can subpoena him. Bottom line.
Exactly. Okay, we'll close out. What's Behind the Rise on the gun-related violence in the United States, PBS. Did a report, the almost five-minute report and everything, and here it is.
Gun violence is surging across the U.S. So far this year, there have already been 154 mass shootings, and new data shows the leading cause of death among children in 2020 was gun-related injuries. For more on what's behind these numbers, I spoke with Jennifer Massia. She's a reporter for The Trace. That's a nonpartisan, nonprofit newsroom focused on America's gun violence crisis. Jennifer Massia, thanks so much for being with us. And three mass shootings last weekend alone underscored what has been a month-long spate of gun violence across this country. Based on your research, your data analysis, what accounts for it? Gun violence is surging across the U.S. So far,
okay, it's on loop. Damn it. Anyway, so... Yes, they're in the PBS report. It's a leading cause of children death and traumatizing and all that good stuff. If it's mental illness that people have, get help for them. How? Open more health facilities, like you say, at the beginning of the program where you can walk in and say, hey, hear what? I'm having a problem. You know? Yeah. And we're the most over-medicated first world country in the world.
You know, if you have insurance, great. If you don't have insurance, come on in, sit down. You know, we can talk. We can try. I mean, we have to try something in this country. We have to do that. And one last thing. President Biden's, this is his reveals his proposals to address gun violence in the United States, background checks for all gun sales, ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, close loopholes in the background check system, and require the safe storage of guns. Okay, that's a start. That's a start. How I look at it.
Okay, and speaking of crazy people.
Well, you can't purchase your rifle until you give proof that you bought a gun safe. I think that's a good start.
No, it is. But the thing is, Elaine, will they put it in the gun safe? You know, I heard a story just today. A six-year-old boy went to school. He put the gun in pack in his backpack, brought it to school, and they interviewed the father and asked the father, why does your son have, he has a gun in his backpack. Why? You know, when they checked his backpack. And the little boy told him, because I don't want my brother to get the gun. That's what he said.
He didn't want his brother to get the gun.
Yeah, so he put it in his gun pack, a backpack, took it to school because he did not want his brother, for whatever reason, they did not say, to get the gun. Yes. Think about that for a minute.
Wow.
Yeah. I was floored when I heard that today. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's craziness and madness happening in America. Yeah.
Yeah. Very much so.
And you know, it's because of the Republican Party where we have this nut job who's going on trial pretty soon. I don't know if you remember it. His name is Salmon Pena. And last week when Kelvin called, Rod Velez in Florida had the same problem where, you know, it's the point where when Republicans lose or these right-wing nut jobs lose, they go to Democrats' house and shoot it up, saying, oh, you know, you stole the election from the like how you did Trump. I mean, good God almighty, we're turning the Wild West now.
I know.
I'm beginning to feel that somewhere like Salmon Pena in New Mexico, who had 7 years in federal prison for embezzlement and breaking and entering and all that good stuff, and the GOP of New Mexico nominated this clown, this loser, to run for city commissioner. Jesus Christ, have the Republicans gone mad? This is how bad it is, not only in New Mexico and Florida, but in Arizona, Sicari Lake, for example. She lost the governorship, the governor's race.
Right.
You know? And so up to this day, she's still protesting and saying, oh, demand a recount. Sit your ass down.
I know.
Sit your fat ass down and shut the fuck up. That's what you need to the Sicari Lake. Arizonans are sick of you. Nobody's taking you seriously. Your political career is done. Why? You made Trump endorse you. You follow Trump off the cliff, and nobody takes you seriously anymore. So do us all a favor, and let's jump off a cliff with Trump. Please, please. But for my sanity, for the sanity of Arizonans, for people who listen to the show, please, you know, either that or just, you know, accept it and move on. But there's no accepting and moving on with Republicans, these fascists. They're just fascists. You know, Uncle Benito Mussolini would have been proud of these fascists in America.
Yep. Oh, disgusting. I tell you, I just...
Anyway, I play out now with Jordan Klepper. He was at Nikki Haley rally. It was for the Daily Show.
And is the GOP ditching Trump for a loser like Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis in Florida or God knows who else? Because they're all fucking lunatics. They're crazy. You know, these people are far-right evangelical morons, old dominionists, end of the world, end of times. These people are nuts. Do not vote for them in 2024. Because we're seeing what a shit show it was when they were trying to elect a Speaker of the House. 15 goddamn ballots. Why? Because the clown who's in there, you know, gave away his testicles because he wanted that power. What power does he have now? But you're making a point.
Not much. That's to be seen.
Yeah. So here's idiot Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina and former U.S. ambassador to the UN.
Haley, the former South Carolina governor and Trump UN ambassador, has decided to throw her hat in the ring and run against her old boss. So I went to her campaign launch in South Carolina to see if the party was really ready to turn the page. Are you excited about Nikki Haley for president?
Very excited. She's done great things in South Carolina. She's tough. She's a woman. Women rule.
The Republican Party needs a change, and we need someone with Nikki's foreign policy expertise.
I love Donald Trump, but I think that he has more of a feminine finesse.
You think Trump has a harder time with communicating with ladies? He has a harsher approach when it comes to women.
He
sometimes has to pay for it. He sometimes has a hard time navigating.
Yes. I mean, I think he's really running to get, I don't think he'll win.
Oh, so
I think it's for VP.
So this is just sort of like adding pressure.
It's just fun to be here. Why not?
VP or president, I was curious to see how Haley could win over ardent Trump supporters.
I voted for Trump, but I certainly will not be doing that again.
When did Trump lose your support?
The nail in the coffin for me with Donald Trump?
Let me guess. Charlotte Trump.
No.
But, okay, so let me guess.
You're not going to guess it.
Kids and cases.
Nope.
The insurrection, January 6th.
See? Nope.
Wait, hold on. First impeachment.
Nope.
Second impeachment.
Nope.
Okay, inviting white supremacists over to Mar-a-Lago.
No, but criticizing DeSantis before his election.
Wouldn't have guessed. So that line, right?
That was the nail in the coffin.
I would have guessed kids and cages.
I told you you wouldn't have guessed it.
I know.
Would have taken 30 minutes.
This is why you come on and talk to people. You're constantly surprised.
Yep.
Haley has been either a strong Trump critic or a vocal Trump ally, depending on the time of day. Could this pose a problem? Did you feel like she sufficiently stood up to Donald Trump when she needed to?
I think she has, and I think she hasn't been afraid to stand up to any male or female with her voice of opinion.
Yeah, so after January 6th, she was afraid to say this is disgusting.
That's right.
And then a couple weeks later to say they were being too hard on her.
Yeah. So we agree. I agree totally.
An individual respects you if you can stand up to them.
Something awful happens, like Charlottesville.
She speaks her mind.
Charlottesville happens. She's not afraid to criticize Trump, walk right in there.
Right is right. She knows right from wrong.
It's a campaign.
Yeah, so anyway, enough of that bullshit. Jordan Klepper, you could catch him on a Daily Show. And when you go on YouTube, just type in GOP ditching Trump, ? Then Jordan Klepper. So, Lynn, thank you so much for calling in. Sarge, thank you for calling in. And when you call in again, Sarge, please do not raise your voice. Let's have a polite, calm conversation. We're not going to tolerate you shouting over us and everything. I'm sick of the bullshit. And thank you, Susan, for calling in earlier. Sorry I had to hear that show thing. Till next time, next Monday, same time, same place, 7:30 p.m., Mountain Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. And this is Lori Picka in Michigan. Everyone have a safe evening and rest of the week. And we'll see you Monday. Bye now. Good night. Thank you.